hearing the whole 6010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast.
What about NFT?
NFT.
We're trying to come up with names before the show. We were trying to come up with names for Field and Chapin's unborn baby. And, you know, listen, obviously, you know, Matthew's an obvious name here, but Field didn't want to go there. So I'm trying to think of different, you know, the baby of Field and Chapin needs to have a unique name. This is what we were talking about here. And so what about NFT? Join the craze.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That would be very topical.
Come here, baby NFT.
Yeah, that would work.
Oh, who's so cute?
Most valuable NFT. Ever, huh?
Yeah, that'd be like, right? Yeah. I mean, that is truly an NFT. It's like you guys made an NFT together.
Well, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Matthew, a technical would not be an NFT, right? Like NFT non-fungible token, right?
Correct.
Like refers to something that you cannot actually touch or hold on to, right?
Right.
I feel like you do the exact opposite with a baby. Like you can't spend
baby is fungible.
Yes, baby is quite fungible.
All right. All right. I hear you.
So
understood.
Just FT.
FT. There you go.
FT.
We're workshopping this.
Yeah, FT.
FT, baby FT.
Very easy to spell as well.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
simple.
Yes.
We're just
at Fantasy Focus if you want to chime in on what Field and Chapin's name is. They're very excited. They have offered and guaranteed that they will pick the name from somebody that a user suggests. A listener suggests.
For a while.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, tweet at Fantasy Focus your name suggestions. Can't wait to see how that one goes down. We got a lot to get to today.
Yeah, let's do it.
A reminder, this week we'll have three shows. Today, yesterday, and then tomorrow as well. Wednesday will be our Friday show, or as close as we can have a Friday show on a Wednesday. We hope everybody is gearing up for a great holiday this upcoming Thursday. What do you got, Daniel?
There's four shows this week.
Oh, I'm sorry, CSS DFS,
That's okay.
3 days worth of shows, four total shows.
Yeah.
CSS DFS will also be available on Wednesday afternoon, right?
Yes.
Mike and Daniel with their always great stuff, along with Al Zeidenfeld. We're going to do some waiver wire talk, maybe empty out the bucket a little bit, perhaps talk about some Thursday games today, but we're going to begin with a Monday Night Football recap. And it can be rather quick because one thing we are not naming our baby is Giant, as that team is really, really, really bad. The Bucks, for their part, a little bit better, as the Bucks get a 30-10 win last night. They started off strong with an opening drive touchdown. Tom Brady finishes with 19.3 fantasy points. Matt, not a dominant night from Tom Brady.
No.
Solid. Good enough to win a red zone thing. Question, but, you know, okay for Brady. Okay. Nothing great, but 19.3 fantasy points. You can't complain too much about that. What I thought was sort of interesting, though, was Leonard Fournette had, I believe, the same number of rushing attempts as Ronald Jones. I think that's probably much more of an outlier than anything else.
Super weird. Like, I tweeted this, and we went back and forth on this, but, like, what was the more surprising touchdown last night?
Yeah.
Andrew Thomas, the offensive lineman for the Giants, or Ronald Jones? Because neither one was on the fantasy radar coming into last night.
Ridiculous. But that being said, like it was actually kind of a chalky week for the Bucks when you think about it in total, right? So Leonard Fournette may not have scored a touchdown, but he finishes RB16 for the week, which is like about where he was ranked with 13.4 fantasy points, getting a ton of passing game usage, six catches last night. Chris Godwin and Mike Evans each have six catches. They each have a touchdown. Evans has a slight yardage edge, 83-72 for Godwin. Lock him in as top 15 players basically every single week at the position. While Gronk gets you 6-71, 13.1 fantasy points.
To me, that was the big thing, was I was just encouraged by his usage. He looked like Gronk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He looked healthy. Stefania, I don't know if you saw anything that we didn't, but it felt like to me that he looked like Rob Gronkowski, and I was excited about the fact that he wasn't used in the red zone, but they used him all over the field, and you know he was a big part of their passing offense down.
You know what else was weird?
Yeah, what's that?
The Giants elected not to cover him on a handful of plays.
That was
weird. Right?
Listen, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally that, right?
Yeah, there really was a couple opportunities last night. I think it was like a 3rd and 4, might have even been a 3rd and 10 in the first half, where like Brady is kind of under duress for like the first time all night, and then he steps up into the pocket. And you're like, is he throwing this away? Is he forcing one at double coverage? Oh, no, it's Rob Gronkowski with no one within 20 yards of him last night. Interesting strategy for the Giants. The Giants were not good offensively last night. So we can be quick on some of these Giants recaps. Daniel Jones was really, really bad. Just an unbelievably maddening interception in the second half. Threw it right into the arms of a Bucs defensive lineman. That's not how the strategy was drawn up. Saquon Barkley did return last night. I'll ask Stefania about what she saw from him. He finished with 11.6 fantasy points, Stefania. He had six catches, which kind of helped salvage the night for him. Played 32 snaps. Looked maybe not rookie year Saquon Barkley, but healthy enough that you should count on him being in your lineup most weeks going forward.
Yeah, I didn't take much away from it other than two things. He played about the amount of snaps where he left off, and he didn't look any worse afterward. I mean, really, those I think are the two big takeaways.
Big thing here, though, is like, and everything Stefania said is accurate. I would just say, Matthew, like those who were concerned about Saquon coming into the season have been validated. And I'm not talking about the time he missed. I'm not talking about the time he missed. And I understand that, like, his ankle has played a part into his lack of effectiveness. But, like, there are no big plays in this offense.
Correct.
They hardly ever get down to the red zone. Does he have a touchdown this year? I think he has one touchdown this season. Yeah, again, exactly. He's only played, like, whatever, four games. But imagine if I told you if he played all 16 games and he scored just four touchdowns all year, you'd be like, no way.
Listen, I was down on Saquon coming into the preseason, and that was one of my concerns when we talked about the fact, would he have that explosiveness that was such a big part of his game? One of the stats that he used a lot in the preseason that is that if you take out, and I may butcher the stat a little bit because it's been a while since
but
I used
it. Aligns
it.
With what
but basically what it was the fact is that like if you take away the big plays, like you take away all the games which in which he doesn't have a 25-yard or more carry, his career average is something like 3.4 yards per carry. Like, it was something that, like, it basically spoke to the fact that without the big plays, his fantasy value is not great. And I'm worried about the fact that he may not have big plays in a season where he's just coming back from the ACL tear. Right. And so far, we haven't seen it. In fact, if you watched the Manning cast last night, and I assume you did, right? I did. You know, Peyton at one point was just like, come on, break a big play. Like, he literally got sort of frustrated with the play calling here. And he's just like, you know. That's one of the best parts of the Manning cast, by the way, is when Peyton gets disgusted by bad football.
He wears his heart on his sleeve. Yeah, I mean, totally. That second interception, the both of them were just like, oh, my God. Right? Like,
great.
You know, Eli has a heart for his own. It's his own team. It's hard for him to be down to the Giants. That's being human, right? But,
right.
Like, even he a couple times last night was like, what are we doing here, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough watch, I think, offensively for people rooting for the Giants last night and for those of us in fantasy trying to find fantasy value from what we thought coming into the season would be a pretty good offense. They added, you know, we're like, they add Kyle Rudolph, they add Kenny Golladay, like Kadarius Toney, they draft him. Like, that's a, you know, that's an exciting player. Shepard and Darius Slayton, and then you're just like, you know, and they've had a lot of injuries throughout the year. There's no question about it, but still,
let me ask you
the
question.
Offense hasn't gelled the way I think we thought it might in the preseason.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes,
I don't
sir.
Think anybody here is going to vouch that for the idea that Saquon would be a buy low for the rest of the season.
Right.
I don't think there's that much value there, right? Second of all, if you have him, like, if you trade him right now, like, if you can get a usable piece in your lineup, go for it, right? Like a weekly starter running back, go for it. But again, it's a weird time to try to trade. There are running backs that are hurt, like Alvin Kamara. There are so few of them in the first place. You get other guys who are back from injury, like Miles Sanders, who are in a timeshare. My point is, so I don't know that the redraft conversation around Saquon is quite as interesting as this. Just, we're no Mike Clay, but just imagine we were doing a dynasty startup draft right now. Let's just do a super flex, just a regular one quarterback dynasty league. Saquon Barkley, does he crack the top 10 running backs?
No.
Top 15?
He's probably a top 15 running back,
isn't
that
crazy?
That's borderline.
He's a guy who had one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen from a running back.
Right.
It's crazy.
But like, yeah, I mean, like, let me put it this way, just to give you an example here. If we did a startup dynasty draft today that wasn't super flex or whatever, forget it, it doesn't even matter. And just in terms of the running back position,
yeah,
I would argue, and I feel very strongly, that like Javonte Williams goes ahead of Saquon Barkley.
Oh, I think so too. But here's one that's, and I agree on that one. Like
right?
Young,
I mean, like, and by the way,
he's
young, talented, but I mean, like, that's a guy who's in a timeshare and doesn't have nearly the fantasy resume of Saquon Barkley in all capital letters.
Right. Not to go down the rabbit hole too far of like, you know, the value of a running back, but just think about this one. Who would you rather have right now? Dynasty. James Robinson or Saquon Barkley?
James Robinson.
Yeah.
And by the way, James Robinson was an undrafted free agent. Saquon was a second overall pick. I'm not sure this is all about Saquon. Like, obviously, he's battled through significant health issues and the offensive line stinks. And if he got traded somewhere, like, I don't know what the perfect – if he played in the Bucs offense, I'm sure he'd be great. But he doesn't. he's playing for the Giants, and this is a team that might double down on him because they used the second overall pick on him this offseason, or a few offseasons ago. They could extend him this year.
Thirsty Kyle, keeping me honest here, by the way, the stat was entering this season, Saquon Barkley, in games for his career and okay. where he doesn't have at least a 25-yard run,
okay.
he averages 3.3 yards per carry.
So even worse than you said.
So
huh?
even, yeah. worse than I, even worse than I said, and there's nothing this year that thinks that stat has changed, right? It's probably even gotten worse here. If there's something encouraging here, it is that they, you know, he was used somewhat in the passing game here. Look, yeah. he was on the hate list. You know, listen, the rest of the season, Saquon Barkley, you know what he is? He's a he's a usable RB2, which is fine. That's just not what he was drafted to be. You know, and so it's definitely, you know, it's got to be frustrating if you are a Giants fan or if you are a Saquon Barkley manager. A last thing for me on the Giants offense here. I just want to mention this real quickly. I know we're going to get to waivers here in a second, but Kyle Rudolph seemed to get banged up in this game. And so we'll see what happens. You know, obviously we're a week away from that. But they play the Eagles next week. Start your tight ends against the Eagles. So I'm just saying, for people just looking ahead, like, I get it. The offense was brutal last yeah. night. But just if you are looking for a tight end streamer for next week, I do think, especially if Kyle Rudolph misses the game, I do think Evan Engram is interesting against the Eagles.
Meanwhile, there's like 60,000 people right now that are listening to this being like, Evan Engram, the guy that we've been trying to make a thing for 5 years now,
dude,
right?
I mean, tight end is so brutal. Tight end is so brutal this year. But listen, but honestly, like, they no Travis Kelce or Zach Ertz this week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, right? And yeah. Adam Trautman, we'll talk about him in a second. But anyway, you just... you might be looking for a tight end. That's all I'm going to say.
Last thing I will say about this is we'll talk more about Kadarius Toney during waivers, but he had 7 catches last night. You know, again, Giants play calling has been a significant point of consternation amongst fans. It sounded like it was a point of consternation last night after the game for Joe Judge. It seems like players are frustrated right now. But one thing, and this is making things way too simple, but the Giants need to find ways to make sure that Kadarius Toney touches the ball every single game a whole bunch. And they did try a couple of times last night. He literally threw a pass, which it was weird. He threw a pass way downfield. It was initially there was a defensive pass interference called, and then they picked it back up. I was watching the Manning cast.
Yeah, I was too.
It was during the Bill Parcells interview, so there wasn't a clear explanation of what happened there. Kadarius Toney is really fun. He might be the wide receiver that has the most upside amongst the Giants.
Real quickly, controversial take on the Manning cast.
Okay.
I love the Manning cast. I think it is one of, if not the best thing we do, but I don't think they need the interviews. Listen, those two guys are so smart and engaging yeah. and fun, and sometimes the interviews crush. I thought Kevin Hart was awesome last night. He was really funny. I thought Phil Mickelson the week before was great. Like, each interview has brought like a great, you know, really funny or interesting or insightful moment. Like, I think about the Kelce interview at the beginning of the year. Right. And listen, he's a legend, right? I mean, like, Parcells is a legend, and, you know, Condoleezza Rice is super, super smart and interesting, a fascinating woman. She's, you know, she's incredible in terms of what she's accomplished in her life. And then, of course, Edelman is Edelman. And, like, so, I mean, like, they're all fascinating people, you know, and amazing gets for a show. But whatever. And they don't care what I think. But I'm just saying, like, those two guys, I think, to me, I enjoy the show the most when it's just the two brothers sure. breaking down the game.
Last thing I'll say, though, is I agree to a degree on that. I do enjoy some of the guests, and I miss Bill Parcells in the NFL. You know why?
1,000% on that.
I miss the days where coaches didn't have to spend all day backpatting players, or else they would get crucified in the media for being too hard on guys. Like, Bill Parcells has a lot of brilliant wisdom, one of which is that, like, being honest with your players is a really important thing for their growth. That's neither here nor there. Let's get to Stephon.
But they asked him that. They actually said, "Do you think you would survive in today's
NFL?"
And he was like,
"Not a chance."
Like, no. And then they showed a montage of him like yelling at Phil Sims, which was great.
It was great. Ask Phil Sims what that did for his career.
Right. Phil Sims would, like, you know, would crawl through glass for Bill Parcells.
No
right?
doubt about it.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's keep things moving here. We get to Stefania on some injury updates. And Stefania, the Jets have had the emergence of Michael Carter in recent weeks. He's become a pretty usable piece in fantasy. Sounds like he'll be out for a little time now.
Yeah, he left Sunday's game in the third quarter with an ankle injury, and Robert Saleh confirmed on Monday that he's going to miss a couple of weeks due to an ankle sprain. Adam Schefter reported it as a low-grade high ankle sprain, so We know those can be a little bit trickier. If it's truly minor, it could just be a couple of weeks, but obviously stay tuned. The timeline is certainly fluid on these things.
Low-grade high ankle sprain. That sounds like something that Matthew and I will definitely mess up referencing over the next couple of weeks here. Matthew, I got to tell you, I have a thought here. Is that my belief is that it's obvious who the most talented Jets running back is that's healthy right now. It's Ty Johnson, right?
Right.
Good pass catcher as well. However,
and the value of Michael Carter as a fantasy usable piece has been his passing game usage in that Jets offense.
However,
yes,
I would not be surprised, given this is the same Jets coaching staff that just went to Joe Flacco this past week as their starter over Mike White, if it's Tevin Coleman who ends up being the lead back for them until Michael Carter returns. He is fluent in this offense. He knows it very well from his time in both Atlanta and San Francisco. He's a veteran, and it might be enticing for us to say, like, hey, get Ty Johnson 20 carries or 20 total touches per game. I get the sense this is going to be a frustrating situation for those that add Ty Johnson off of waivers.
I would agree with that. And also, by the way, I mean, Tevin Coleman is a name that's probably on your radar, especially if you're in a deeper league. And people are going to look at the schedule. Ooh, they're playing the Texans this week. Mm-hmm. And so you start thinking about it. But you know what? By the way, we had the same situation last week with Deontay Foreman and Adrian Peterson against the Texans. Like, the Texans play pesky defense.
They do, yeah.
And so could Tevin Coleman or Ty Johnson get into the end zone this week? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, could one of them turn in a usable fantasy performance? Sure. But I just, like, unless you're in the crazy deepest of leagues where you're just looking for anyone that has a pulse and field, you and I both play in a couple of leagues like that, this feels more like a, yeah, there's an uptick in value for Ty Johnson and Tevin Coleman. And if I was coaching the Jets, from what I see, I'd prefer Ty Johnson, but I'm not coaching the Jets. And I think your read on the situation is correct, that this will likely be a more frustrating than rewarding situation for fantasy managers.
I describe starting one of them as like more of I have to rather than I want to. Right.
Right.
I have to start them. I don't want to start them. Stefania, another injury update to Eagles back is Jordan Howard, who got hurt last week. What do we know about what he is dealing with?
Yeah, sort of a weird hit. Took a hit to his knee and landed awkwardly, I should say, on his head. Nick Sirianni indicated on Monday that he will be out for this week's game, likely. He didn't say definitively, but he said likely. I think what's interesting is he did not mention IR for him. So mm-hmm. A lot of times they think automatically this is going to be multiple weeks. It's IR. But if you look at the fact that they have a bye in week 14,
right,
you go, well, if it was 1-2 weeks, they get the bye. Maybe week 15 is when he comes back. So again, he hasn't committed to him being out. I'm just saying, for your fantasy purposes, you might want to plan on that potentially being the case.
Okay, keep an eye on that one. It probably means that we'll see A, Kenneth Gainwell active again, as he was inactive this past week for the Eagles, and then B,
correct,
Matthew, I think it's going to be running back by committee again, right? Because we talked about how Miles Sanders did play last week. He had a couple of nice moments. He also put the ball on the ground once, nearly did again, and he's Miles Sanders. He's always been frustrating in fantasy,
sure,
so I expect it to be a RBBC.
Yeah, against the Giants. You know what I mean? And so you're going to be like, maybe, you know, like you're going to try. That's another one where I feel like you're going to have to talk yourself into it more than you'll be excited
right
about
and,
it.
And to your point, though, again, like one of those three, I think probably one of the two between he and Boston Scott will
correct
find the end zone and you'll be like, hey, it paid off. But like you're probably guessing and getting a little bit lucky if you have the one that pays
right
off.
Right. Stephon, by the way, it cut to Jalen Hurts rushing for another 3 touchdowns and none of them get in the end zone. We'll
be
fine with.
Not going to be bothered by that one bit.
By the way, I don't know if you saw this going around. I just want to give a shout out here. Can I give a shout out quickly to Kyle Soppy?
Of course.
So
like you right now.
What? I want to legitimately do this. I want to legitimately do this. That in the preseason,
okay,
I did this in my love hate. I did this in my 100 facts, and we did it on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, which is where we compared Jalen Hurts the 4 games that Jalen Hurts started as a rookie
right
to the final 4 games of Lamar Jackson's rookie year in 2018.
Yep,
and Hurts compared favorably. Okay. And of course, obviously then in 2019, after his rookie year, Lamar Jackson won the real life MVP and the fantasy MVP, basically won everyone in their league. He was a monster in 2019. So Thirsty Kyle's the one that found that and pointed that out to me, which I was like, oh, this is great, and I use that quite a bit. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to him on that. Here's why. Because something that's going around on social media here, and I'm not trying to take anything away from anyone else, but there's been a comparison of the first 15 games of Jalen Hurts' starts to the first 15 starts of Lamar Jackson's starts. And once again, Jalen Hurts compares favorably. And it was done more in an NFL perspective than a fantasy perspective, which is what we did. But I just wanted to give a shout out to Thirsty Kyle because I'm seeing that going around on social
Thank
media.
You,
and I'm not trying to shout out. I'm not accusing anyone of taking anything. I'm not accusing, you know, I don't think the 15 games was stolen or anything like that. I'm not accusing anyone of that.
Right.
But just because I'm seeing that come up around, I'm just like, I just want to give a point out that the Thirsty Kyle was legit the first one who said, like, hey, look at Lamar Jackson early in his career, look at Jalen Hurts early in his career, and I think you guys are missing something here with Jalen Hurts. And so, you know, that's one of Kyle's jobs here is to make us look smarter than we actually are.
Sure.
Which is might be the hardest job. Might be the hardest job at the company. Might be the hardest job at the company. So I just wanted to give some specific love to Thirsty Kyle, who we did
that.
We made a lot of hay with that, Kyle, in the preseason, and fantasy managers have paid off handsomely with that. There you go.
Well done by Thirsty Kyle, as he always does. We'll move forward with more injuries here, Stefania. Adam Trautman left the game early on Sunday for the Saints with what was initially deemed a lower body injury. We now have some more specifics.
Right. He has a sprained MCL, according to Adam Schefter. He's supposed to be out 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, all what that tells me, if you're looking at a timeline like that, is that they think it's fairly significant sprain. You know, we saw Aaron Jones go out, and they were talking about it being 1 to 2 weeks. So 4 to 6 weeks tells you that this is a little bit more concerning for him. And obviously the timelines are always fluid, but still, you know, this is one of those things. If look how many weeks are left in the season,
right.
Look where the Saints are.
Right.
Makes you wonder, do we see Adam Trautman again?
The Saints are, of course, now at 5-5 or 6-5. Now, one of the two, they are 6-5, I do believe, are the New Orleans Saints. They play the Bills on Thursday. Can you imagine this past offseason, there was a time where, and I'm not saying this is perfect, but the Saints offense was envisioning a world in which Jameis Winston was their starter, Michael Thomas was their number one wide receiver, Alvin Kamara was their number one running back, Adam Trautman was their number one tight end. They had arguably the best tackle duo in the NFL, Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk. On Thursday, it will not be Jameis Winston. He's out for the year. It will not be Michael Thomas. He's out for the year. It may very well might not be Alvin Kamara. He did not practice again on Monday. Meanwhile, Adam Trautman's going to miss the game on Thursday. Those two tackles are iffy to play on Thursday. A lot of teams have dealt with a lot of injuries. The Saints have been especially hit hard on the offensive side of the ball.
Two quick things on that. So Juwan Johnson becomes an interesting guy. Scored the two touchdowns the first week of the season.
Yeah,
they've been
that?
Using him. And again, with Trautman banged up and just not a lot of pass catchers available for you, again, we're so tight and desperate in fantasy. Now, they play Thanksgiving and they play the Bills. So I'm not saying you necessarily suggest you go pick up Juwan Johnson except in the deepest of tight end premium leagues. But it is a name to keep on your radar as you're watching Thursday night against the Bills, because the following 2 weeks – They play the Cowboys and the Jets. And so Juwan Johnson, just a name to sort of throw on your radar. And if you have a spot and you're like, you know, you're desperate, you know, maybe grab him. I wouldn't start him against the Bills. You'd want to see it first.
Sure.
But the tight end position for the Saints and Sean Payton's offense has traditionally been a fantasy-friendly one. And with Trautman out, you'd expect Juwan Johnson to get more run. By the way, in our Dynasty League, so our tight ends, I'm like, you know what? I feel pretty good about my tight ends going into this year. You know, I have Adam Trautman.
Okay.
You know, he's a young guy. I have Logan Thomas. Feel really good about him. I mean, I have Hunter Henry. He won't stay healthy. But, like, the only the one guy I've got.
He's been good, too.
He's been good. That's the crazy fan. I have Donald Parham. Those are my four tight ends in Dynasty.
Yeah.
I can't quit Donald Parham. But it's just, like, it's amazing that the one tight end I have that stayed healthy all year is Hunter Henry.
Stefania, we have one more injury update, and this tells you, A, how good he's been, and B, like, just how crazy this season has been. Jamal Agnew for the Jaguars is now banged up.
Right, left the game against the 49ers with a hip injury, originally called questionable to return. Not only did he not return, he's now done for the year, placed on injured reserve with a hip injury, or expected to miss the rest of the season in any event. And I have a question.
Yeah.
Is Laviska Shenault ever going to be fantasy relevant? Like, if they just take away all the other pass catchers, is there any chance?
I got to be honest with you, Stefania. There are some tough watches right now in the NFL.
Oh.
Jacksonville's up there for toughest watch on offensive league.
Unbelievable.
Tough, right? I mean, like, I know they've had a couple of scrappy wins, especially that Bills win recently. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And I feel really bad for Trevor Lawrence, obviously.
Yeah. And here's the weird part. they actually have more usable fantasy pieces than some teams. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, there's like there's a couple of teams where you're just like, who are you starting on this team? And at least on Jacksonville, you've got James Robinson.
Yeah.
Even though he had the goose egg last week, I think you're still starting Dan Arnold, you know, at tight end. You know, the wide receivers or whatever. Marvin Jones, I mean, all of his production was basically on that last drive, like total junk time last
week.
Still,
that counts, right?
And that was weird, too, because he was producing. Earlier this season.
It's crazy. It is a crazy time right now in Jacksonville. We hope things turn around sooner rather than later. We'd love to see Trevor Lawrence flourish in that offense. We're going to have a quick break in just a second. But before we do that, Daniel, we must say goodbye to another member of the Survivor League.
We must. Unfortunately, it is our friend David Presley, former video producer here at the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
Former? What do you mean former?
Well, he's no longer in the league.
Yeah, I thought you meant like he'd been fired from the show or something like that.
No.
Like, Presley does a lot of things here.
He does
at the
a lot of things.
At the company.
He's my favorite Deadhead here. He's a huge Grateful Dead fan.
Yes,
he just has
Deadhead.
Just has no head now. So.
But cut his hair.
But I mean, can you imagine if Presley was no longer working at ESPN and like he's got like.
No, that's not.
Like, and that's how we're announcing
he
that?
He said no head because it's a guillotine league.
So here's what I'm going
to
say about this.
No head.
Really quickly, David Presley rostered Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback.
Nobody
four
wants to pick
times.
Him up. Don't
it's
pick
four
him up.
Times.
I'm not touching him. I'm not touching him because I'm still
he'll
in the league.
There are seven teams left in the league, including Stefan,
you
and myself,
Kyle,
and Kyle,
right?
I believe. Yeah. Kyle's still in the league. Yep.
Correct.
That is amazing.
Sneaky
cut. Patrick Mahomes four times.
4 times he has been on the team that has
be
been eliminated. By the way, so we're down to 7 teams. It might be I'm just calling it right now. It might be my week
You're
this week.
You're reverse hexing yourself. You have unbelievable
Here's
reverse jinx streak.
Here's the thing. I mean, like, I barely squeaked past Presley this week.
Okay. Yeah.
I have Dak Prescott as my quarterback. Obviously, he was brutal. CeeDee Lamb. So I have the Cowboys stack with Dak and CeeDee Lamb, and obviously him. Like,
Dak's
that
not going
to
do that again.
We'll see. But, I also have DeAndre Swift. Like, I've got a lot going on Thanksgiving, which is really, really nerve-wracking for me. So I'm a little nervous about.
Can't believe you put a lion on your Survivor team.
DeAndre Swift's been awesome.
He's
by the way,
amazing.
I also have Hockenson. Hockenson's my tight end.
I know. I have him in a league that matters, and that's been rough.
I'm just nervous about. Like, I also have Kirk Cousins, but against San Francisco, I don't know what I'm going to do here, whether I'm starting Dak or not. But I'm nervous because I barely squeaked by. Like, out of the
highest scoring
teams
in the league this week, no doubt about it.
I have to say though, Survivor Leagues, like, this is my first time doing it. I love this. I think
so
everybody should do it. It's so much fun.
It's really fun. The sweat is unbelievably
it's
real.
True. It's
it
real.
Is. It's a really unique and fun format, and I could not agree more, Stefania. This is my second year doing it, and it's really fun.
On top of Patrick Mahomes, Hollywood Brown, Michael Pittman, and DK Metcalf are going to join the waiver wire this week for teams to pick up.
He had a great team.
He had a great team.
They just all...
That's what Survivor Leagues are all about,
that's
man.
That's what it is.
You get one bad week, and you're just
one
crushed.
One bad week. Presley had a really good team. He had a really good run, but that run is now over. And now he can focus on trying to make this show watchable.
Coming up in just a minute, we'll discuss waiver wire ads, and we're not talking about those available in the Guillotine League. Instead, players that are available more than 50% of leagues on ESPN.com. But before we get to that, do you own or rent your home, Presley?
Sure, I do.
Sure, you're not Presley, but he does too.
He
and
does
I bet
too.
It can be
now
hard
that we
work,
know he hasn't been
but
fired.
You know it's easy bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it only gets better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. So get in on the action now. It's really simple. Just pick your lineup, standard the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, and the best part is you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings app now and use code FFF. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter code FFF to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code FFF, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Time now to hit the waiver wire. Matthew, I'm going to let you go ahead, and you can host this segment. I've got the handy-dandy touchscreen available.
Excellent. I appreciate that. Field Yates, of course, you write the free agent finds, the waiver wire column for ESPN.com, which is up now.
Yes, it is.
And these are, of course, once again, players that are available more than 50% of ESPN leagues. I think sometimes people see these names and are like, really? That guy? Isn't he obvious? And right, he might be obvious to you, very smart fantasy football manager, but he is not obvious to everyone as millions upon millions upon millions of people play at ESPN. We are taking the 360-degree view here, and so players that are available more than 50% of leagues, let's start at quarterback field and big name guy who's back.
Yeah, Cam Newton is back, as you said. Cam Newton, number one on the board this week, at least amongst quarterbacks, Matthew. And you, as you mentioned, maybe you're trying to fill in for Patrick Mahomes or Kyler Murray again this week.
Sure.
Or you're worried about Dak Prescott. I'm not super worried about Dak Prescott, but if you were worried about Dak Prescott because he's not going to potentially have his top two wide receivers or any of the other quarterbacks that have been struggling recently, like you, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton is a name to consider. Cam, this is an amazing stat. Cam has 44 career games with a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown, as he's done, by the way, in each of his two games with Carolina this year. That's 13 more than any other player ever in the history of the NFL. We talk about dual threats. Cam Newton is the most unique dual threat quarterback perhaps in the history of the league. He actually was pretty efficient as a passer on Sunday as well, 21 of 27, not a ton of yardage, and still wasn't perfect as a thrower, Matthew, but I think it was plenty good enough. I'm intrigued by Cam Newton. We saw it last year, right? The floor is relatively high week over week over week because of the rushing, and we saw a good amount of rushing this past week as well. 10 attempts for Cam Newton. I think he's a top 12-ish play this week. They play, of course, the Miami Dolphins.
They're in a bye the following week, but they do have a nice schedule down the stretch too, by the way. So Miami this week, bye, then the Falcons, and then, you know, then it gets a little bit tougher with Buffalo, Tampa Bay. But definitely usable for the next couple of weeks here. Let's move now to running back field. I need a running back. Do you have a running back for me?
I do. Devontae Freeman, as improbable as that may seem, but Devontae Freeman has been the guy for Baltimore recently, and he's been pretty good, by the way. Yeah. Over his past three games, he has, I believe, 13 catches? Might be 11 catches. 11 catches, it is, over the past three games. He's been in back-to-back-to-back games of up over 10 fantasy points. He's going to be their best bet to score a rushing touchdown other than Lamar Jackson. They're always going to run the football effectively. And he had 20 fantasy points this past Sunday, Matthew. Like, we were just talking about how sort of down and desperate we are for running backs right now in the context of Saquon Barkley. Right now, you could do much worse than Devontae Freeman, and the Ravens seem to find a way, perhaps more than any other team, especially this season. They find a way not just to win games, but frequently to produce fantasy points for their running backs.
Listen, not only could you do worse, the Ravens could do worse. They did do worse, right, with Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
So, look, the fact here is that Devontae Freeman has scored in four of the last five games. I would argue that the usage last week isn't indicative of few. They had Tyler Huntley, you know, and so they just wanted to sort of run as much as they could and just try to get out of there with a win, which is what they ended up doing. So with Lamar Jackson back, I wouldn't expect that kind of workload for Devontae Freeman. But to your point, he is clearly back. He has scored in four of the last 5 weeks.
He's over 13 touches per game over the past 5 weeks. Like, right now, we're looking for 10 touches per game. He's getting over 13 in an offense that, and it's fast, can
offense.
Be really good.
Yeah,
can be really good. One more running back for you is Jeff Wilson Jr. I want to ask Stefania quickly if we have any sense whether there's any chance we'll see Elijah Mitchell on Sunday for the 49ers.
I think it's just too early to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the reason why we're telling you about Jeff Wilson then, is because if Elijah Mitchell, who did not practice at all this past week, and plays a position where his living is dependent upon him holding on to the football, is unavailable because of a finger injury, then Jeff Wilson Jr. should once again be the lead back for San Francisco. He had 19 rushing attempts on Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He had one catch as well, Matthew. Not saying it's a dominant player, it was not a dominant performance, but he was really good down the stretch for San Francisco last year. This offense seems to be humming right now. They play Minnesota on Sunday, which is a game with huge playoff implications. I think Jeff Wilson Jr. is a top 20-ish running back this week.
And the Vikings are a good team to play against. I mean, they're a good you can run on Minnesota. So I think it's a good matchup here. And even if Elijah Mitchell is active, the expectation is that Jeff Wilson Jr. will get some work. So certainly viable to have, as Mitchell's now, this is like the second time that Mitchell's been banged up this year, right? You know,
yes,
so quite a fine for the Niners, but staying healthy has not been a big part of his game so far this year. Speaking of Elijah Mitchell, let's go to another Elijah.
There we go, yeah.
And Elijah, Moore.
This would be my number one ad of the week if I had a choice right now for the Jets. The wide receiver has got over 13 fantasy points in four straight games, starting to look the part. His yards per catch is going up in each of those four games as well. 11.2, 12.0, 14.7, 17.6. He has six or more targets in every game since the team's bye all the way back in week six. Mitchell is a player who got all the buzz during training camp, Matthew, and is starting to pay off even with a roulette of quarterbacks. Eventually, he'll have Zach Wilson under center. I'm not sure if that makes his value better or worse, but it's an exciting glimpse into the Jets' future because they obviously need all these young playmakers to hit to be a real offense going forward.
There's sometimes when preseason buzz does not pay off.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it does, and I think if you watch those Jets games, and I get it if you don't want to. I get it. I have to. Yeah, I'm paid to. The Walt Disney Company pays me to watch these games, right? But and if you watch those games, what you see in Elijah Moore is you're like, oh, I get it. I understand the preseason buzz. I understand. Like, the stuff you saw on tape from college has translated to the NFL in terms of the speed, in terms of the route running. Like, a special player that is now finding his way in this offense. And so he's been very productive now quietly for quite some time. I believe, you know, he's been like a top 10 fantasy wide receiver over the last month.
And
so Elijah Moore, who's shouldn't be nearly as available as he is. I agree with you. I think just in terms of the amount the Jets are going to have to throw the rest of the way, Elijah Moore would be that guy. But as long as we're talking rookie wide receivers, we talked about him a little earlier in the show.
Yeah, Kadarius Toney, and this one strikes me, I think every year, and I've been guilty of this, trust me, I was definitely guilty of it last year with Michael Pittman, but in some ways what I am doing in urging you to grab Kadarius Toney is also take a glimpse into the future. The Giants have tons of wide receivers, and perhaps they have too much of a logjam at wide receiver for their own good. They're paying a player $18 million a year in Kenny Galladay, who has zero touchdowns. He had one catch last night for 12 yards. That may be an ill-fated decision when we look back on it, but I don't think Kadarius Toney's selection is going to be an ill-fated decision when we look back on that one. He's had three games this year in which he's had 9, 11, and 12 targets. Last night was one of those. He was busy for them last night. He needs to continue to be busy going forward. He is so explosive. He is so electric. It may take another week or two, Matthew, but like if he gets another 10 targets next week for the Giants, then I think we're talking about him the following week, which would be week 13, as like a potential top 30 wide receiver option right now. The good news is like most of the routes that he is running don't require great pass protection and great quarterback throws because they're at or near the line of scrimmage. Like, really explosive player. I need him to be added in more leagues. He's dropped out of leagues because of the fact that he was A, hurt, and B, because the Giants had their bye and they had been ineffective on offense. But I really like the skill of Kadarius Toney. Every time he touches the ball, something cool happens.
There's no question about his playmaking ability. Can the Giants unlock it? Can it then lead to productive and consistent fantasy production? That remains to be seen, but certainly very much worth the flyer to put him on your roster and see if that does pan out. Last one here, no Amari Cooper on Thanksgiving. We don't know about CeeDee Lamb, but certainly a legitimate chance that Lamb misses this game.
Yeah.
We know Gallup will play, but there's another Cowboy wide receiver that you like.
Cedric Wilson had seven targets this past week, and the reason why he's not in my top five is just because it feels like potentially very much 1 week payoff, right? I mean, we think Amari Cooper will be available in week 12. We think there's a chance CeeDee Lamb will be available. Excuse me, week 13, on Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper should be available in week 13. I think there's a chance CeeDee Lamb's available in week 13. And if both or one of those guys is on the field alongside Michael Gallup, you can't use Cedric Wilson. But if you're in a one-week pinch, this might be an opportunity to take advantage of it. Also, like him in daily fantasy this week, you should see him priced reasonably on all platforms.
One, just as long as we're talking about waivers, I just thought this was sort of interesting. While you were talking, Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans, does a really good job there. Aaron Wilson tweeting out that, according to a source, the Texans are cutting running back Philip Lindsay. And the only reason I bring that up is they play the Jets this week. And so, again, we're so desperate for running backs. Could you see some Rex Burkhead, more Rex Burkhead, right? I mean, and Royce Freeman right? Royce Freeman is on the Texans roster as well. So it'd be interesting to see sort of how that shakes out. But Mark Ingram had some productive fantasy games for the Texans earlier in the year. Obviously, David Johnson is still there in Houston. But I don't know. The only reason I'm bringing it up is it's more for deep leagues.
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting.
But if you're against the – if you're, it is an interesting one, right? Just from an NFL perspective. But
no, I think I kind of get it.
Okay.
I don't know this for a fact. I have no idea. Just wondering. This could just be a total guess here. The Texans are, I think, fairly getting a reputation under their new leadership of Nick Caserio and David Culley of doing their best to do right by players.
Mm.
Mark Ingram said, like, the only place that I was going to get traded was the Saints. Otherwise, I'm staying here because I like what we're doing. And the Texans were like, we want you to go somewhere where you're valued. Traded Mark Ingram. I wonder if this is like, hey, there's at least a chance that you could be claimed, Philip Lindsay could be claimed off of waivers. If not, like, we want you to go somewhere where you have a bigger role than what you have right now. Interesting name, though.
Interesting name
on waivers. I don't think he'll get claimed. He's making a decent amount of money. But if he clears waivers, which would be not – that would be on – today's Tuesday, right?
Yep.
Be on Wednesday. He could sign with someone as soon as Thursday. That's an interesting name right there off of waivers.
This player who's been productive in the NFL, certainly. So something interesting to note. And I just – because they're playing the Jets this week, just watch that situation in Houston in terms of their running back. But, you know, listen, David Johnson you know, likely the lead, but just it's interesting. Royce Freeman is now in Houston, and Rex Burkhead got a lot of work last week. So sort of interesting to see what happens against the Jets on Sunday.
All right, we're going to come back in just a moment and talk about a couple of players who had a change under center this past week and what it meant for them. But before we do that, no matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams. What if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So how does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its network of millions of job seekers to find quality candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
So I want to ask you guys a real quick question. Our buddy Marcel, I want to tap into some insight here, some in-depth insight. Our buddy Marcel, who covers the Dolphins for us, sent us a tweet on Sunday that said, Myles Gaskin is up to season-high 71 rushing yards on 17 carries, also has 3 catches for 7 yards and a touchdown. He now has 5 straight games of 12-plus carries and 15-plus touches. Do you think that there's anything to that? Are we beginning to have a little bit more faith in Myles Gaskin? Just coming directly from our Dolphins NFL Nation reporter, it's just getting increased usage.
So yes and no. You want to take this one? You want
me to? Do you think there's something to it? I think there is something to it until Malcolm Brown returns.
So listen, they're using him more.
Yeah.
Great. The volume has been there. The efficiency hasn't always been there. Yeah. Fantasy-wise, like a decent running back getting a lot of usage, that's great. I will tell you right now that Myles Gaskin is going to make the hate list this week, right? Playing Carolina.
Yeah.
Don't love it. Oh, by the way, it's also an even week.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weirdest thing. Like, that's not real analysis, but for whatever it's worth, it has played out that way. But in terms of real analysis here, you know, listen, he's been productive because of volume. Like, he hasn't been the most efficient. Like, the big plays that we saw last year haven't really manifested itself in a way this year. That's an offense that's been, to be kind, field inconsistent.
Right.
You know, listen, they got down close. Gaskin ended up getting into the end zone. But, like, the first time they got down close, Myles Gaskin took a direct snap and then handed it off to Jaylen Waddle, at the 5-yard line.
Oh, trust me, I'm aware. I'm very aware.
Rosters Myles Gaskin in the War Room League. Yeah, you and I were sitting next to each other. And we're like, because I have Gaskin in my Dynasty League. And I'm like, come on. You know, so.
So you said he's going to say, though. No, like, there are plenty of indicators that are really good for Myles Gaskin right now. Specifically, the workload, right? The number of targets, the amount of snaps he's playing, the amount of total touches he's getting. He's got this big glaring hole, which is shared, by the way, by every running back on the Dolphins roster. From 5 yards and in, is there a team less likely to score a touchdown than the Miami Dolphins if they're going to run the football?
Right.
Is there?
No. Maybe I mean, that offensive line is bad.
Right? Like, if it's 5 yards or in, and you have, like, if the Browns have the ball 5 yards and in, I expect them to score every time with Nick Chubb.
Sure.
Within four plays, right? Like, who's your other favorite? I don't know. Who's your favorite power running game right now? Right? The 49ers, right? The Patriots. Name some teams that are good at running the ball
exactly.
Right now. Like, well, I expect
honestly,
them to score every single time.
Packers with A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, right? they should score, right? Or Aaron Jones, too, right? Like, Jones, I expect them to score every single time. Right now, like
Chris McCaffrey or Cam Newton.
Yeah, like they're going to score, right? Like the Dolphins right now, like I'm like, eh, maybe like Gesicki pop pass. Who knows, right? I mean, like
that's why they've got to put Miles Gaskin.
Right? Yeah. Right?
That's why they have to put Miles Gaskin under center and then do a sweep basically to Jalen Waddle because they got to get tricky.
So
then when they get in close like that.
But it's who he is, and we use this term probably way too much, right? But he is an appropriately ranked low-end RB2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a volume-dependent RB2.
And he has been getting the volume recently, which is so consistent. That's why he's an RB2.
All right. So I want to close the loop on this real quickly because, Matthew, you said that he is going to make your hate list this week. Is that correct?
Correct.
As a part of that, are you using the odd and even weeks as a metric?
Nah, I mean, I may make a joke about it. I haven't written it up yet. But
would I get those if I subscribe to RotoPass? Would I get the odd and even metrics there? Or is
no,
that
you wouldn't
still
get odd
and
even metrics. Okay. You'd get real metrics there.
Real metrics there.
And so here's the thing. So the Love Hate column is going to be part of ESPN Plus, right? You know what else is part of ESPN Plus? Fields column that you want to read today. The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry, featuring, of course, Daniel Dopp. Mm-hmm. You can watch that. All of Mike Clay's stuff. All of Tristan Cockcroft's stuff. All of Eric Carabell's stuff. Mm. All of Eric Moody's stuff. Like, Mel and Todd, Stefania, every single person everyone that you read on the website, the ESPN Plus, is part of the ESPN Plus subscription. You're like, well, that ESPN Plus subscription sounds pretty good. It is. It's actually a great bargain. But in addition to ESPN Plus, you could get five other great sites. Five other ones that give you DFS lineup optimizers, that give you trade tools, that give you in-season analysis, that give you ranks specific to whatever kind of scoring system you need, free agent evaluators, literally everything you could possibly need. Dynasty, best ball, Superflex, whatever format you play in, RotoPass has you covered. Black Friday sale coming up this Friday. You can use the promo code 06010 to get you 10% off RotoPass. It makes a great gift as well for the holidays. And here's what's amazing is that from the day you subscribe, you get 12 months of access. So you subscribe today, right? And your subscription doesn't end until November 22nd. 2022. You'll have it all for next year, all for the preseason, all for the offseason. If you're in Dynasty, you know, you're doing offseason trades for draft analysis. It's always great to be able to get to read Mel and Todd leading up to the draft. And so anyway, rotopass.com, promo code 06010 gets you 10% off. It's six great sites, one low price, and it includes ESPN Plus. 12 months of ESPN Plus.
It's really worth your time. Yeah. It's really worth your time and your money. Great stuff there from RotoPass. Let's spend the last 15 or so minutes that we have available to go through the three Thanksgiving games as best we can. So we're asking for your patience here. We're also asking for your attention on Thursday morning because injury updates are still very fluid, but we're going to do our best. And Stefania, we're going to start, of course, with you in the first game of the day. Is Daniels, Detroit Lions, hosting the Chicago Bears, who sound like they'll be led by Andy Dalton.
Yes, it appears that way. Justin Fields left with that rib injury. We haven't heard any more details. We knew that initial x-rays were negative, but we also talked about how that's been the case for many a player this season. It's turned out to be something more significant. They did not practice on Monday. All the practice reports were an estimation, but he was listed as a non-participant. Obviously, it'd be a quick turnaround for him.
And Allen Robinson missed this past week's game as well, Stefania. Would be a quick turnaround for him to play as well.
Likewise, and also listed as non-participant. His was a hamstring injury. We talked about how the ankle issue is something that he played through for well over a month, but the hamstring was a new injury. Week 10 caused him to miss week 11 after not practicing at all. He is not back yet.
So I think as far as the Bears are concerned, there's one player that we think is probably close to a lineup lock, no matter what size league you play in, which is David Montgomery, a very, very, very busy running back for them in most weeks. The production hasn't necessarily been great in recent weeks since his return from that knee injury, but he's really busy almost every single game. So we feel good about Montgomery. And I think, Matthew, we're starting to feel better about Darnell Mooney as well. We've been talking about him as a guy that's been on the rise, coming off the best game of his young career. This is a good spot for him as well. Mike Clay talks to us often about the wide receiver cornerback matchups of note. And sorry, Daniel, but frequently the Lions are the team that presents a matchup upgrade for opposing wide receivers.
Well, they'll take deep shots to Darnell Mooney as well. And so this game, you know, in Detroit on the turf, which would certainly help Mooney with his speed. And whether it's Justin Fields or Andy Dalton, they're going to take shots to him. So, I mean, like, all you can ask for your playmaker is that he's going to get volume in a good matchup. And we think this is a decent matchup here for Mooney. And we certainly expect him to get volume. So Mooney will make the love list this week.
As far
just want to note.
Like in the others receiving votes.
Darnell Mooney listed on the injury report because of a foot issue, listed as limited. Again, they didn't practice, so it's really hard to evaluate that, but just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, but he's a wide receiver. He doesn't need feet, right?
That's probably what he needs the most.
Wow. I learned so much from this show.
I know. It's amazing.
As far as the Lions go, we know DeAndre Swift, also a lineup lock. He is RB6 for the season. And Matthew, how would you describe, just like speaking generally, how you feel about TJ Hawkinson over the past month or so?
Ugh.
You know what's crazy?
Ugh.
You know what's crazy?
Mm.
He's tight end 7 for the year.
No, I mean, it's just, that's how bad the position is. But
every year we do this. Every year. We're like, there's more depth of tight end this year, right? It's like, no, there's not.
Started off really hot, and then his production has waned recently. 2 weeks ago, he got a goose egg. Now, he was okay. Like, honestly, given the matchup last week with the Browns and Tim Boyle under center, Hawkinson had a better game last week than I thought he would. I think he had 11.1 or something like that.
He did, yeah. 6 catches for 51 yards.
Yeah, so 11.1 fantasy points. So you're like, okay, that's fine.
He's a classic case, though, by the way, of like, TJ Hawkinson is a certified stud. He is so good. He's been crestfallen by his quarterback play this year and the offensive operation just in general. Like, he's a really good player. The production is hardly a byproduct of his own ability. You have to keep playing him. I'm just saying that, like, the numbers don't feel great recently, and yet he's still a very locked in tight end one every single week based off how the rest of the position has shaped up this year.
I think it's unlikely that you have a better option on your roster, TJ Hawkinson. I'll tell you, like, I have Dan Arnold in a couple leagues where I have Hawkinson, and that's a little bit of a decision for me, candidly.
Yeah, Arnold, coming off of a bagel, right?
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. I mean, honestly, there was one or two leagues where I started Arnold instead of Hawkinson, including the Survivor League that I'm in. Like, I have Hawk, and I started Dan Arnold this past week again. Like, thank you, David Presley, for stinking worse than I did this week.
Let's keep
and allowing
moving.
Me to continue
we
on.
We only have a few minutes. Let's try to get to these last two games here for the Cowboys and the Raiders. Raiders relatively clean on the injury front, which is good as of the early estimations. But, Matthew, the Raiders have really, really plummeted in recent weeks, and specifically Derek Carr, who earlier in the season was like a solid quarterback play, is down to quarterback 14 for the year. He had just 8.6 fantasy points this past Sunday. Like, do you have any confidence starting Derek Carr right now?
Kind of do. And do I have confidence now?
Yeah, nah.
I think he's a viable streamer this week. I think this game is a sneaky shootout.
Interesting.
I think the Raiders show up on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys.
I have less confidence than you do. Like, I don't think I have him inside my top 15 this week. I think I would avoid if I could. I think there are better streaming options this
week. I agree with you. There are better streaming options. But so do I feel great about streaming him? I don't. But I do think he has a good game this week. I think the Raiders offense will be more productive against Dallas this Thanksgiving than they have been last couple of weeks. That was a tough game. Yeah. That was definitely a tough game against the Bengals on Sunday.
Josh Jacobs reminds me of Miles Sanders, a guy that on paper seems like he should be a good player in fantasy football, right? Has some pedigree. Both of them drafted in the first two rounds. Plays in an offense where you would not be surprised if they are featured week over week. And yet Josh Jacobs, like, rarely strings together a bunch of great games. He's been hitting like that 10-point threshold pretty frequently, Matthew. He's been more involved in the passing game of late. Most of it's just dump-offs. It's not like designed passing game opportunities for him. But Josh Jacobs is like a low-end RB2. He had 11.1 fantasy points this past week. He's a low-end RB2 most weeks.
He is also volume and touchdown dependent. And by the way, if there's an encouraging sign, he got a ton of targets this week. Josh Jacobs did. They actually, for the first time, I mean, like, Josh Jacobs got, I want to say, 5 or 6 targets this past week. And so that was, I think, an encouraging sign, because another knock on Jacobs recently is that they've actually been using Kenyon Drake in the passing game. So Jacobs has become even more sort of first and second down only. So, but I agree with you. Until we see some consistent production from him and Jacobs being used in all game scripts, not just positive or neutral, but that he's still being used in negative game scripts significantly, yeah, he's a touchdown and volume dependent RB2.
So following here for the Cowboys, of course, there are major question marks at wide receiver. What's the latest on both Amari Cooper and also CeeDee Lamb?
So Amari Cooper, we already know, is going to be out for this game because of his testing positive as an unvaccinated player on the COVID-19 list. He will be out. CeeDee Lamb, concussion suffered in last week's game. Now, we talked on yesterday, about how it would be a really tight turnaround for him to come back. Not impossible, but unusual. It sounds like the Cowboys have some optimism that they could have CeeDee Lamb back. Now, they didn't have a practice yesterday. They had an estimation. He was reported as a non-participant, but Mike McCarthy said he was participating in meetings, and that's sort of a first step back. You know, he was not completely resting at home. He actually participated in meetings, and then again this morning he was participating in meetings, and Mike McCarthy said he expected him to do some light field work today. So again, several steps that he would have to go through, including tolerating whatever he would do today, and then being cleared ultimately for contact. You know, football, he can go from, you know, with the steps phases of the concussion protocol, you can go through multiple steps in a day. So if you tolerate one thing, you can do another thing. You can move through things. We always talk about it being nonlinear. So it doesn't take 5 days to go through 5 phases. But they would have to give him ample time to make sure there's no return of the symptoms. And he would still need to get the independent neurologist clearance in order for him to participate.
Matthew, let's work through a scenario in which,
by the way, one real quickly, Stefania, you said Mark McCarthy said, what did he expect CeeDee Lamb to do today?
Light field work.
Yeah, so, that's what we call this podcast, by the way.
Light
yeah.
field work. Yeah.
Wow.
No, heavy field work, light God work bless. By the rest of us.
God Matthew, bless. Let's envision a scenario in which CeeDee Lamb, you're terrible, does not play on Thursday. Two questions for you.
Yes,
one, does it impact the viability of starting Dak Prescott to you if he'd be down as 2 top wide receivers?
Yeah, it's not ideal, okay. Right? Because he's not running anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the other concern on, and you think about what the Raiders just did last week against the Bengals, right? The Bengals ran all over them. You know, Joe Mixon had a monster game. Feels like if there's no CeeDee Lamb, there's no Amari Cooper, you're on a short week, could this be a lot of Ezekiel Elliott and a lot of Tony Pollard?
Tony Pollard, I think, boosts up this week.
Yes. You're always starting Zeke.
I'll tell you what, though. Most important Cowboy on Thursday might be Tyron Smith, their left tackle. Oh. They are just a shell of themselves on offense without him. You go look at the splits.
It's unbelievable.
With Tyron Smith versus without Tyron Smith, it is Lee, they need him back in a major way.
So that's the other question: is just do we think, well, Stefania, any
he's got
sense?
A chance.
On,
that's the yeah. that's the prevailing narrative from the Cowboys. Stefania, he'll play, right?
That's the hope. They are really hoping that he's.
I think fantasy managers, managers as well. My point is that, like, if I had a viable option on my team, I might think about it. But I'm not like suddenly like dropping somebody and trying to find somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like let me talk myself into
sure.
Whatever, you know, Trevor Siemian, who's been hot the last 2 weeks.
Right. Like, you're still, no, I agree. Right. I agree. Totally.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so.
I think it is a big Tony Pollard day on Thursday, by the way, as well. One more game here in the last few minutes.
And Dalton Schultz. I think it's a big Dalton Schultz game.
He could have a good game as well, but he's sort of locked into that. Like, yeah, you're starting him anyway.
You're starting him anyway. Gallup and Cedric Wilson, as you talked about on waivers.
As far as the Bills and the Saints are concerned, Stefania, the big injury there is, of course, Alvin Kamara.
Right, and they didn't practice yesterday. And we got a DNP listing for Alvin Kamara, who obviously missed last week with an MCL injury. I mean, if you're trying to read tea leaves, the fact that they wouldn't have expected him to practice doesn't sound great, but the Saints, you know, they could change your mind on a day. Today's a big day, don't have a practice report yet.
They and the Cowboys play on back-to-back Thursdays coming up. So as far as the Saints are concerned, with no Adam Trautman, if Alvin Kamara does not play, there's one Saint you're starting on Thursday, Mark Ingram, because he has been good in the absence of Alvin Kamara. For the Bills, Matthew, things are fairly chalky most weeks, right?
I just want to address this, just because, like, over the last 2 weeks, the third best quarterback in fantasy.
Trevor Siemian. You decide how much fire you want to play with, though.
1,000%, because he's been bad. Like, it's been junk time, and you could argue, well, there'll be junk time against the Bills. For me, I get it. I'm not going there, but I just wanted to bring it up to dismiss it. I didn't know if you felt differently.
I feel the same way as you do. I think I would find other options that I'm much more comfortable with. For the Bills, Matthew, generally speaking, they're a pretty chalky team in fantasy, right?
Yeah.
You're still starting Josh Allen, who even had a bad week last week, 16.2 fantasy points. Stephon Diggs, 18.3 fantasy points. He was good last week, finding the end zone twice. I know he had just 23 yards. I'm telling you, two touchdowns is plenty good enough. No running back, though. That's the prevailing thought right now. So no running back is worth starting.
I have two questions about this particular game for you. First off, we probably expect Marshawn Lattimore to be on Stephon Diggs.
I think
is there any scenario in which you're benching him? You're not, right?
I'm not benching.
We agree.
Yep.
I just wanted to again bring that up to dismiss it. Second thing about the running backs. Is there any deep league value to Matt Breida, who actually led the. I mean,
right.
like what do you mean? Five
like
carries.
Five
but
carries,
but
right.
he led the Bills in rushing attempts last
week.
His
presence just underscores that there's no Bills running back that I want to start right now. None.
I would agree with that, especially against the Saints.
By the way,
I know the Saints got run by the Eagles, but generally speaking, it's a really good run defense.
By the way, there is definitely a possibility that a non-Bills wide receiver has a good game on Thursday. But remember in the beginning of the year where it was like Stephon Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley are all usable. Right now, which one of those are you starting with confidence?
Yeah, it's tough there. I mean, I do think, by the way, off the top of my head, my expectation here is that the Saints don't particularly play the slot that well. And so I do think Cole Beasley could have a sneaky game here. Dawson Knox, I was encouraged by his usage last
week as
well.
He can play him for sure.
You're starting Dawson Knox again, given the lack of depth at the tight end position. Sneaky feeling that Cole Beasley has a nice game here.
Okay, there you have it for our Thursday preview. Coming up tomorrow, we will do a full preview on Wednesday. It's like a normal Friday show for us, as best as we can do. Limited injury information, but Stefania, of course, will have her very best. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place. For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel, I am Field. For those of you that missed tomorrow's show, happy Thanksgiving.
Check out the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. Really, really funny episode that Daniel and I did. So please check that out. We will see everyone tomorrow. Peace out!